John McKenzie, Far North Queensland's number one, 4CA.
Well, we've got a couple of councillors on the Northern Beaches holding the line against, well, the incursion all over the place of the what would you call it, the Gold Coast syndrome. And good on them, because there's been a number of people saying, oh, I came to this paradise because it wasn't like the Gold Coast. So have a listen to this. This is page two of the Cairns Post. It's under the heading, No Glitter Strip for Cairns. Council rejects sign in Northern Beaches for fear of Gold Coast effect. Now, it says Cairns councillors have rejected a request for an illuminated sign in the Northern Beaches out of fear Cairns risks becoming too alike the shimmering, flashy Gold Coast. Owners of a Night Owl convenience store and BP service station 55 Endeavour Road, Clifton Beach, were displaying a digital sign on their property until the council issued a compliance notice. August last year, in response, the company submitted a request to display a 4 square metre digital advertising device on the property's fascia awning. The proposed device was not compliant with at least 6 criteria under the council's local advertising devices law. Now, I'll cut to the chase here. If erected, the sign would have also been within 110 metres of a signalised intersection. That's traffic lights. A signalised intersection. That must be the shopping centre there, I guess. Sparking concerns from Main Roads, which advised the council against approving a device that would, quote, create a danger to traffic. Now, it goes on to say council's planning office has recommended the council approve the application. But 6 of 10 councillors, here we go. Olds, Coghlan, Vallely, Eden, Zyger and Moller still disagreed with the planning department's recommendation and rejected the application. Now, the divisional councillor, Brett Olds, said, the Northern Beaches community did not welcome the encroachment of suburbia. He said, quote, they don't want a glitter strip. I've got Brett Olds on the line, the Division 9 councillor, to expand on this matter. Brett, good morning.
G'day, mate. How you doing?
If you had to do a poll up there at the Northern Beaches, residents who've been there for, I don't know, just say 5 years, how do you reckon the poll would go when we're talking about, would you like to import some of the features of the Gold Coast, which is internationally renowned, of course, attracts millions of tourists every year. Would you like those features? Or should we turn our backs on that opportunity? How do you think the polling would go on the Northern Beaches?
Well, it'd be 80% or 90% would be against it. I haven't been out and door knocked on this particular issue for the sign, because I've been out there for 8 years talking to locals, and I think I've got my finger on the pulse. We've got something special out there, and we don't need when we say the encroachment of suburbia, like the locals don't want all those stoplights they've already got. They've got 2 sets of stoplights. They're about to get a 3rd set in a couple of years when another service station, a 3rd service station within 3 kilometres, gets put in at Palm Cove. And everyone is against it. It's like, and now if it's the thin end of the wedge, if you let one of these digital signs go in, then the next thing, Clifton Village, you want one. The new service station want one, obviously, to advertise their specials, because they want to be in competition with these guys at Night Owl. And I'm like, it really is. They say there's no precedence in planning, but there absolutely is. And what confused me with the recommendation for approval, it's like Councillor Halloran's always told me since I started. He says the planning department is like plasticine. They can, because our council officers have knocked back a whole bunch and recommended refusal for a whole bunch of these kind of signs, and then they've bent over backwards to try and work with their proponent to find a way to get a yes. They put 36 different conditions in to try and make it so, oh, okay, we can make it work here, we'll change the hours, we'll change, you can't do this, you can't do that. But overall, it's still really close to an intersection where there's a lot of accidents, by the way, at Endeavour Road, that stoplight's there. That's what I said. I talked about all the reasons where it didn't comply. I think there was 8 or 9 different areas it didn't comply. Main Roads suggested to us that they didn't want it. And in the end, I said, but, you know, all that being said, at the end of the day, what's really important is the community sentiment. They do not want these things, because as soon as you get one, you're going to have more out there. And we're a rural kind of beachside community. We don't need this kind of stuff.
I'm interested in this sentence. Council's planning officers recommended the council approve the application, but Olds, Coghlan, Vallely, Eden, Zyger and Moller said go to buggery. Now, is this becoming a regular event? You've got whatever the chief executive's name is and other council officers saying, no, we've got to do this, and the councillors pushing back. What's going on there?
Yeah, it seems to this year there's been a bit of it, hasn't there? Like with the cash thing as well. And it's like, but I think that's what we need, because the elected councillors, I mean, we're here to obviously to listen to the community and be the advocates on their behalf. And there is a separation of powers between operational stuff and then the policy making that we set. But at the end of the day, we're here to stand up for the community and be their voice. So I like it that we're pushing back a bit more on some things. And that shows that we're listening.
Exactly. That's what you're elected to do, stand up for the people of this town. I'm so pleased that you are doing that. Can I just ask you about another one? It's just occurred to me. I got a call, I think it was George at Fetters yesterday off air, said they put the parking meter fines up again. Why would they do that when we're struggling in town as it is?
Yeah, well, I believe the reason that's gone up is the penalty units have gone up. So that's a state-controlled thing. So if a penalty unit used to be worth $50 or $170, whatever it was, now the penalty unit's worth like $280. So the penalty units have stayed the same. I believe this is accurate. If I'm wrong, I'll apologise and call back tomorrow. But I think the amount for the penalty unit has gone up. So the units are still the same. But I will double check into that and find out. But I think that one's kind of out of our control with the fines gone up. But it is. And in tough times, it just seems like everyone keeps heaping on, doesn't it? Mm.
Now, don't go away because, this is right up your alley. Now, this is a letter to the editor in the Cairns Post today from Douglas McKenzie, Woollahra, New South Wales, which is an inner city suburb of Sydney. It's under the heading Palm Cove, Elusa. It says on Friday, which is last Friday, August 25. August 25, last Friday. My sister, my brother-in-law and my brother spent a day in Palm Cove. We were dismayed to find that there were only two public toilets along the most frequented section of the waterfront esplanade, and they were at least 1 kilometre apart. All four of us have chronic bladder problems. Walking up to 500 metres to relieve ourselves was an extremely uncomfortable and risky trial of our continence. Given that Palm Cove is the most upmarket and prestigious coastal town north of Cairns, we question why it's not worthy of more public facilities. At least two more public toilets would not only make Palm Cove more attractive to us oldies, I contend that it would be eminently cost-effective, says Douglas. Now, with the toilet issue, I think recently, didn't we see planning for a new toilet to be built at the southern end?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess when you got to go, you got to go. But the problem's been in Palm Cove for years is everyone wants an extra public toilet, but no one wants it in front of their business.
Yes, exactly.
So finding that, it was very hard to find that balance, but we did. There's an area to the south across from Drift Apartments on Beavers Road, and it's almost a block back from the ocean, so it's not really impacting anyone. And I actually believe it's in this year's budget, financial budget, we are going to put an extra toilet there. So you'll have a public toilet down the south.
Yeah.
You have the one in the middle, which is outside of Peppers, and then you've got the far one at Goldfinch Park. But I think he got his measurements wrong, because the whole strip there at William Desperate is only 750 metres long, not a kilometre. And so you've already got two toilets. But I know what he means. I mean, if you've got to go, like, jump into a resort, go into one of the cafes or restaurants, and I'm sure they'll let you go. Everyone's got their own toilet there, even if you have to buy a muffin or a coffee. But I hear him. We want to have more public toilets, but it's always been an issue is finding where can we get it where we're not going to, make an enemy for life. Because when you've got that beautiful ocean you're looking at out there, you don't want to see this old incontinent guy running in and out all day long. So. but we are working on it. I was going to write back to him, but I don't know if he'll read the paper tomorrow. He might be back in New South Wales.
Goldfinch Park, which one's that?
Goldfinch. Goldfinch Park's the northern end where that car park is, up near the jetty.
Oh, okay.
So we've got some really nice toilets there. Yeah, and then we've got the ones down outside of Peppers, and then we haven't got any down the southern end. You can go to different businesses or resorts, but we're going to put one right there on Beavers Road. So, and we won't get two extra toilets in, but getting that one was a bloody miracle, and the officers did a really good job actually finding that and consulting with the people out there, making sure they'd be happy with it to go there.
Don't go away. This is also social scene letters, if you like, on the cancellation of the Cairns Festival Parade. Debbie Stanley wrote, I get cancelling the parade, but to not offer another date is ridiculous. So many people have worked so hard on their floats. Now, Debbie is, I would imagine, echoing the sentiments of many, many, well, thousands of people probably saying we've just lost our annual highlight. It's been spirited away from us by the bloody weather, but can't we do another one? I talked to Terry, the Deputy Mayor, Terry James, about this, and he said, it's bloody hard to pull it all together again. We had a couple of discussions about it, but he did say, look, we're going to have a look at maybe about 4 weeks. It could be possible, but he wouldn't commit himself quite legitimately. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it was a pretty sad event. I mean, we live in tropical North Queensland. Rain's always going to be a factor no matter what month it is. So I'm kind of like rain, hail or shine, the show must go on. If it was my call, I would have said, yeah, just go ahead. But the people, the officers made the decision on the best information they had at the time.
Yeah.
But they have, we got an email yesterday from that department, and they are going to go out to all those, the people that had the registered floats, and they're going to put it to them and say, would you like to come back potentially in October or something? And it still might happen. There still might be a float that happens for the part of the parade in a few weeks' time, but it'll depend on if they're keen to do it, because it takes a lot to organise. You think all the community groups trying to get everyone there and everything else. So if they come back overwhelmingly and want to do it, then council will find a way to put it on. If it comes back like 50-50, we might just have to wait till next year. It was an unfortunate thing, but you can't control the weather. And but part of me is like, I'm sure we'll be talking about it now for the next 10 months in time to council. Mm. I honestly think we should just let people know that, hey, it could rain. It's Cairns, tropical North Queensland. Mm. So make sure your float's waterproof and the show will go on next year, unless it's a bloody cyclone, you know.
Yeah, I think 50-50 is a positive. I think that's a vote for bringing it back. There's so much, you know, people were so heartbroken, particularly the kids. So it would be lovely. And also the people that went to so much trouble with their costumes, with their hair, with all the preparations of the floats themselves. I think, that seems a waste. I mean, it's not just the energy, it's the creativity, et cetera, as well, that we missed out on. All those different international groups that love to get out there and say, this is what, you know, we've brought from our country. This is our gift to the people of Australia. And it's part of living in North Queensland, this multicultural community we have.
100%. I just got told that Councillor Halloran's actually just on in my office. He's next to me. He said, well, it rained last year and we went ahead with it. So, I forgot that. But yeah, so it rained actually last year for the parade, but they didn't stop it. So maybe that's something we need to plan. You're right. There's way too much energy and time and effort put in by people to make a quick call. And so we'll see if it happens again, but later in the year. But yeah, no, it was a bit sad for a lot of people. I actually had something on. I wasn't going to make it anyway. So, it didn't impact me, but I had a lot of phone calls and emails from people it did impact, and they weren't happy.
By the way, it was blowing a gale as well, which didn't help. Bloody windy. No, bloody windy. Look, I think we should stick with Terence. He said, look, in 4 weeks' time it's possible. Let's support him and the people trying to bring it back together. If there's some of those people involved with the floats, please put your hands up and say, we're coming back because we miss you. We couldn't wait another bloody year to see what you present for us, the wonderful gift you present to our community every year. Good on you, Oldsy, and stick with Terry.
Thanks, buddy, and we'll see how it goes. I'll talk to you again soon.
Good on you, Brett. That's Councillor Brett Olds, the Division 6 Councillor. Fingers crossed, maybe 4 weeks from now we can get it going again.